Oh, Baruch Hashem. So you could see me, so I could wish you Shavua Tov. I don't know what happened, but we're going to...
But I can see you.
Yeah. We're going to start with... There are two Mishnayos on Daf Kuf Vav Amid Beis. We're going to start with the second one. And we're talking about the Malach of Tzeda, of capturing. And the Mishnah tells us, Yashav Ha'echad Al HaPesach. So we'll call him Reuven. Reuven blocks the doorway, and there's a deer inside. Velo Mil'ahu. But he didn't fully close the opening, so the deer could theoretically still get loose. So Reuven's not chayev. Yashav Hasheni Milahu. If Shimon comes along and he closes up that area of the entrance that was still open, Hasheni chayev. Shimon is chayev because he actually captured the tzvi. Yashav Harishon al Pesach Milahu. But in the following case, Reuven completely closed the opening. Ba sheni v'yosha b'tzido. Shimon now sits like behind him, but Shimon is not doing anything because it's the animal's already trapped. Afal pisha amar arishon v'holach lo. Even though Reuven now packs his bags and leaves, and as it turns out, Shimon is now blocking the exit of the animal. Harishon chayev asheni potur. The first one, who for a certain period of time had completely trapped the animal, he's chayev, but the sheni, Shimon, even though right now he's the one who's trapping the animal, he's potur. And why is that? Holamazed dome, what is it similar to? Linoel es beso l'shomro. A person is locking his door. He has many possessions inside his door. He wants to, for security reasons, lock his door. V'nimtza tzvi shomer besocha. It happens to be that there's a tzvi inside of the house, and for sure, in that case, he's potter. Now, the equation in the Mishnah, it requires a little bit of imagination. In the first case, the main case of the Mishnah, Shimon was completely passive. He remained sitting there, and as it turns out now, he's blocking the exit of the animal. In the case of Lemaze Dover Dome, the mashal that the Mishnah gives, there he was actually actively involved in locking his house. But the issue is, did he have kavana? So the Mishnah is making this kind of leap, this kind of equation, that just like in a case where even though you're doing something actively to trap the animal, but you don't have kavana to do so, nevertheless you're chayev. I'm sorry. And you're potter. And why are you potter? Because you didn't have an intention to do so. So too, in our case, where Shimon is just passive, that's not considered as if he had an intention to trap the animal, because when Shimon actually sat himself down near Reuven, he was not trapping the animal. So now we're going to do the daf for today, which is Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph. Omer Rabbi Abba, Omer Rab Chia, Barashi Omer Rav. Nichnesa lo tzipar tachas knofav. A bird somehow flew underneath his garment, and now the bird is trapped. And Rav says that Yoshev u'mishamro ad shetechshach. He's allowed to remain passive, and he's trapping the bird until Shabbos is over. And it seems from the statement of Rav that this is something that l'chatchila he's allowed to do. There are no derabbanans here that prohibit him and say, well, you have to lift up your cloak or somehow free the bird. Masiv Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachman objects from our Mishnah, Yoshav HaRishon Al HaPesach Umilo Uba Hasheni V'yoshav Etzido Afal Pisha Amar HaRishon V'holach Lo HaRishon Chayev V'Hasheni Potur. Reuven blocked the exit, and Shimon was there as a backup, so to speak. Now Reuven checks out. Shimon is Potur. Now whenever it says in the Mishnah Potur, what that means is that it's Potur Aval Aser. There's an Isidra Bono, which means that Shimon should be standing up and relocating himself, opening the exit so that the animal could go free. My love, shouldn't we assume therefore potter aval asur? And Rav just finished telling us that if you have a bird that went into your cloak, you're allowed to keep that bird locked or trapped under your coat because you're not doing anything active. So lo, the Gemara says no. What the Mishnah has in mind is potter u'mutter, that Shimon is allowed to stay there even though he's trapping the animal, and that's mutter l'chatchila. So this becomes an exception to that general rule that whenever it says in the Mishnah potter, it means it's potter on a Doraisa level, but it's also here it's mutter l'chatchila. And hachinam mistabra, the Gemara wants to support this from Midiktoni Seifa. This last case where Shimon remains passive is equated by the Mishnah l'mazeh dover domeh l'noel es beiso l'shomro, to someone who locks his door. He's guarding whatever's inside his house. And as it turns out, there's an animal that's trapped as a result. And that's not something which the Mishnah prohibits. The Mishnah recommends locking your door when you go home, when you go out, even though you're going to trap an animal. And if that case is being equated to the case where Shimon was left after Reuven checked out, Michlal de Potur Mutter. Shmamino must mean that when it says in this Mishnah Potur, it means Potur Mutter. And this is one of the, we'll soon see that there are three exceptions. This is one of the three exceptions to the rule that Potur always means Potur Avalasa. Ika Diamri, we have another version, but it's more or less the same, just in a slightly different sequence. Omar Av Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Afanan Nami Tnina. I also have a proof from the Mishnah to support Rav's statement that if the bird flies underneath his cloak and it's trapped, he doesn't have to free the bird. He's allowed to stand there until Motzi Shabbos. And Afana Nami Tnina, it says in the Mishnah, Afal Pisha Omer Rishon V'Holech Lo Chayav V'Asheni Potur. Even though Reuven checked out, he was blocking the exit, but now Shimon is there, that's fine. Shimon is potur, my love potur mutter. So Rav Nachman says that potur means he's allowed to remain exactly where he is, frozen in that place, and blocking the exit of the tzvi. So the Gemara says, lo. I mean, that's not so. We have a rule that potur means potur avalasa, that min rabbanon they prohibited it. Because in effect, the rabbanon were worried, he's trapping the animal by sitting there. He's the only one who's there, who's blocking the exit. And tomorrow, maybe next Shabbos, he'll be tempted to actively and deliberately block the exit of an animal. How can we allow this? So let's apply the rule of potter aval asur. And the answer is, Hamidik Tani Seifa, since it says in the mashal, in the equation, it says, L'noel es beiso l'shomro, minim tzashomer v'socho. And if he locks his door and there's a deer that's caught in his house, that's mutter. He's allowed to lock his door. Is michlal de potur mutter? It means that in this case, potur is mutter, shmamino. And now this Gemara is going to quote Shmuel, who says that there are three exceptions to the rule of potur mutter, in which the Mishnah, in three different places, used the word potur, but it means potur mutter. It's not potur avalosa. Whenever you find anywhere in the Mishnayos that it says potter, it means potter avalos. So lebar, with the exception of hani, the following tlas, three cases, the potter mutter. Chadaha, first is the case where Shimon, after Reuven checks out, is left standing there blocking the exit. Umimai de potter mutter, and if you'll ask me, Shmuel asks himself rhetorically, what would be the source for my setting up this Mishnah, our Mishnah here, as an exception to the rule? How do I know it means potu mutter? The Ketani Seifa, because the Mishnah says, as we saw already a few times, l'mazeh doma l'noel espeso l'shomen imtze svi shomav socho. So if he's locking his house, that's okay. There's no problem with that. What are the other two cases where the Mishnah uses the term potu, but it means potu mutter? Ve'idach, number one, the first of the second and third exceptions to the rule. This is a Mishnah Masechta Eidos. It says Hamafis Mursa B'Shabbos. A person has pus that is now trapped underneath a covering of a skin, like a he has a blister, and he plucks it. He takes a needle and he plucks it so that the pus could come out. Are you allowed to do something like that on Shabbos? So the Mishnah says the following: Im lasos lope, if he's creating an opening so that the pus could come out and air could come in and heal the skin below the blister, chayev. That's called meleches bone. And in the past we've discussed that bone, building, even applies to the human body. So in this case, he's building an opening in the human body for air to go in and the pus to go out. But im lahotzi men lecha, if he's just trying to relieve himself of the built-up pressure here from the pus, then potter, then he's not chayev. And here, according to Shmuel, we're going to say this is an exception to the rule, and the word potter means potter muta. So where it says mimai, the potter muta, how does Shmuel know that this Mishnah, when it says potter, really is allowing you to do this lechatchila? And the answer is, we have to look in another Mishnah. This Nan, we have a Mishnah, Machat Shal Yad, if you have a needle, Litol Bois HaKotz, then there's no Iser Mukta. Normally, a needle which is used for sewing is called a Klisha Malachta Lisa, so you're not allowed to take it. Here, you're allowed to take it, and why? In order to remove a splinter. You have a splinter, and you need to take out the splinter, you use the this needle to remove the splinter. And if it wasn't that this was mutter, then it would be mukta. The only reason it's not mukta is because you're allowed to use it for this purpose of removing the coats, removing this thorn. And if you'll ask me why in this case did the Rabbanon refrain from enacting an Isur, and the answer is because a person is in a state of tsar, right? He's got a thorn in his finger, wherever it is, and it's bothering him a lot, or he has pus that's building up. So here in these cases, the Rabbanan said, in order for you to avoid tsar, you're allowed to do this. Even lechatchila, you're allowed to pluck the boil and remove the pus, as long as you're not doing it to make a pet. And you're allowed to take out the thorn and the splinter. So now we have two cases where potu means potu mutu v'idach. Now we have a third case of Shmuel, and we're going to study now a Mishnah once again in Masechta Eidos. Hatzad nachash b'Shabbos, if he captures a snake on Shabbos, im misasik bo shelo yishachenu, if the only thing he's trying to do is save himself from a bite, from some sort of terrible damage from the snake, potter. Im lirafua, but they used to take the snake and they used to make some sort of a therapeutic serum out of the snake. Then he really wants to capture the snake so that he can take it apart. Chayev. Then he's doing a tzedah, which is called a malacha tzricha legufa, meaning he needs this malacha of tzedah to capture, in this case, the snake. But in the reisha, in the first case, he's only trying to save himself from being bitten by the snake. And here, when it says in Misasik Bo Shelo Yishachenu Potter, it means says Shmuel Potter Umutter. He's allowed to cover the snake with a bowl or whatever it is in order to prevent himself from being bitten. Umimai and Hanna Shmuel know the Potter Umutter. And once again, Mishum Tsar Lo Gozu Be Rabbanon. Tisnan, we have a Mishnah here in Masechta Shabbos. It says, Kofin karal aner b'shvil shalotechos bakora. If you have a lamp and the fire might actually burn down your house, so you're allowed to cover it with a bowl. V'alatzoa shal katan, and the feces of a child, you're allowed to cover it with a kli. V'al akrov shalotishach, and you're also allowed to cover a scorpion and capture it in order that it shouldn't sting. So we see that potter here means potter mutter. Hadron Alecha Perek HaOreg. And now we start the 14th Perek of Masechta Shabbos, which is called Perek Shmona Shrotzer. Now, what we'll do is we'll read through the Mishnah of Shmona Shrotzim, and then we'll open up a Chumash. So if you happen to have a Chumash, Sefer Vayikra, it's very helpful. Shmona Shrotzim Hamurim B'Torah. The Torah actually specifies 8 different Shrotzim. These are crawling creatures. They fit into a couple of different categories. There are rodents, there are porcupines, there are lizards. Most of them are actually different forms of lizards. But anyway, we'll see the pasuk inside. The Torah actually delineates 8 of these. And there are 2 psukim. They take the 8 and the Torah splits it into 2 groups of 4 each. But the Torah says about all of them that they're metame. That's called tumas sheretz. In the past, we've had occasion to discuss tumas sheretz. If a person comes in contact or carries a sheretz, then that is going to convey tumah. But our mission is interested, first and foremost, we'll see how we get back to tumah in a minute, to the case of chovel. Chovel means when you smack this rodent or this lizard, and you take blood out of the circulatory system. And that's a malacha called chovel, which is a tolda, a subcategory of netilas neshama, of killing something. Even though the creature is still alive, but once you take the blood out of the circulatory system, that's called hadam hu hanefesh. And that's netilas nefesh. You're taking the nefesh. You're taking the dam out of the circulatory system where it's alive, and you're killing it. That's called netilas nefesh. Now, in order to take this dam out of the circulatory system, you need what's called R. R is ayin vav resh, which means a thick skin. And what happens is that it's similar to, in a human being, a black and blue mark. When you Nebuch get a real starker bang and you see that your skin is black and blue, what happened is that blood was taken out of the capillaries and so forth, and it now is underneath this skin. The skin is actually preventing the blood from coming out, but the blood is already out of the system, and that's called chovel. So what we need for chovel is R. Now, what happens is, in these cases of shrotzim, the R in general is very thin. And we're not sure in halacha whether that's called an R. R, as far as we're concerned, for the meleches chovel, has to be a separate entity. Like, for example, in an animal. So we call the R a hide. It's very separate from the rest of the animal. The rest of the animal is called basar, the flesh of the animal. And what we're going to analyze today is, with regard to these shrotzim, what's the status of the R in each one of these shmona shrotzim? And again, we're going to divide them up into 2 groups of 4 each. If the R is considered a separate entity, it's called an R, then you're going to be chayav if you give a smack to one of these shrotzim for meleches chovel, because as we said before, the blood is sort of coagulates and it's pressured underneath, caught underneath the R. Now, that is a chumran Shabbos. In Tumah V'Tara, it's the flip side. Once you have an R, that's going to give you a kula, because the Torah says that you're only metame and you contract tumor when you come in contact with basar. Now, if we consider the skins of these different kinds of lizards and so forth to be very, very thin, and therefore they're like basar, that's a chumrah, because that means that if Oram Kibisaram, which again, if I had a whiteboard, that's what I would write for today on the whiteboard, Oram Kibisaram, the R is like the Basar, then that means it conveys Tumah. So if you have a contact with the R of a lizard, then you become Tameh. If, on the other hand, I set up the R as a thick, significant R, it's a skin like a hide, and it's separate from the basar, then we have a kula and tuma. Again, it's going to be a chumran Shabbos, because you can be chayv for chovel, because as we said, the blood gets stuck underneath the R. Some Rishonim say that we're not even talking about chovel as netil neshama, we're talking about chovel as Malechus Sovea, because you're actually dying with the blood dyes the skin, or the Rambam has another concept called Malechus Mefarek, because you're breaking the capillaries and so forth. But we're going to go with the simple pshat that we're talking about Chovel as a told of Netilas Neshama. So if the R is R and not Basar, that's a Kula in Tuma and a Chumra in Shab. So let's see what the Mishnah says about these Shmona Shrotzen. Now, if you haven't followed me until this point, don't get nervous, because we're going to be going over this, you know, for the next 40 minutes over and over again. The Mishnah says about the Shmona Shrotzim that Hatzadon, if you capture them, and we're talking about Seder now, not for the sake of protecting yourself, but Seder because you want to, you know, you want to sell this porcupine to a zoo or something like that. Hachovel bahen chayav. So in the case of tzad, you chayav from leches seda. In the case of chovel, from leches netils nishon. Ushar shrotzim v'ramasim, but other crawling creatures, hachovel bahen potur. If you bang them, then you're potur, because they don't have R. They don't, again, keep in mind, this is a halachic concept called R. We'll see one sheet that says it really reflects on the reality of how thick the skin is, but that's Rabbi Yehuda's sheet, we'll get to. All the other Tanoim assume this is a halachic category, it's called R. And what the Torah is telling us, according to this Mishnah, is that the Shmona Shrotzim that are being listed, enumerated by the Torah, by name, they have an R. And that's relevant to Tuma, because it's going to be Tahar, because the R is separate from the Basar. But it's also relevant to Shabbos, as far as Meleches Chovel is concerned, that if these eight have an R, as opposed to all the other crawling creatures, they don't have an R, the Torah is singling out these eight, because they have a thick skin, so to speak, but again, it's a halachic concept of R, then you're chayav mishum chovel. But as far as the balance of all the other crawling creatures, you can give a whole list of them, that is not chovel, because they don't have an R. These eight were specified and singled out because they have an R. Hatzadon l'tzora chayav. If, on the other hand, even with regard to other crawling creatures, even if they don't have R, but nevertheless he traps them because he wants to take them for himself, for whatever reason, then he's chayav. Again, is a different halach if he's only trying to protect himself. But we're talking about seder for the sake of litzorach. Litzorach meaning that he wants to take this for himself. So he's chayav mishum leches tzad. Shalol litzorach, if for example he's protecting himself from the bite of a crawling creature, potter. And as we discussed earlier, the name of Shmuel, potter here means potter umutter, if you're trying to protect yourself. Chayav iof shebershuso. This is going to be a sugya for tomorrow, not for today. But if you have beasts and birds, and if they're already controlled, they're not sodan potter. In other words, they're domesticated, and they're already, so to speak, locked up. Is then that's not called seder. If, on the other hand, they're not in your control, these are free agents, you know, animals or birds in the wild, and you catch them, then you're chayav. Hachovo ben chayav. In all cases of beasts and birds, they have an R, and since they have an R, they have a skin of hide. Therefore, Yechayv Mishum Leches Chovil. So the Gemara says the following: Midik Tonia Chovil Ben Chayov. Since the Mishnah teaches us that in these eight shrotzim, your chayav for Meleches Chovel, when you give him a smack, is Michlal, we have to derive from this, the Islahu Or. Because you're only chayav Yishum Meleches Chovel, as we discussed, when the blood somehow coagulates underneath the Or. So they have an Or. And the Gemara now claims that this issue of how to understand the eight shrotzim and whether or not they have R is actually a controversy in the amongst the Tanoim in a Mishnah in Masechet Chulin. And Man Tana, who is the Tana that is reflected by our Mishnah? Omer Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. The Tana of our Mishnah is none other than Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. This not because we learned in a Mishnah in Chulin, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Shmona Shrotzim Yeshlem Oros. Which means the following, that when the Torah gives us the list of these Shrotzim, what it's telling us is that these Shrotzim have Oros, and therefore if you have contact with the Or of any of these eight categories of Shrotzim, and we'll go through the eight categories in just a second, then you do not contract tuma. Why? Because that's not basar. Only basar is metame, but not or. On the other hand, that means a chumra, as we saw in our Mishnah, shmona shrotzim hamurim b'torah hachovel b'hen chayav. If they have or, then you're going to be chayav from meleches netilas neshama. It's not going to be metame because it's a separate or. It's not basar, and or is not metame. Only the basar of the shrotzim is tame. Now, in order to appreciate the next statement in the name of Rav, we have to open up the Chumash. Again, if you don't have a Chumash, that's fine. I'll just read it to you. And the Chumash gives us a list of eight shrotzim that are mentioned by name in Vayikra Yud Aleph, that's Parsha Shmini. And it says, V'zelecha atame. So if you have the Chumash open, you'll see this Pasuk Chavtes. And that lists four kinds of crawling creatures. Zelecha Tomei, etc. Hacholed v'ha'achbar v'atzav liminehu. Okay, there's actually a fourth one. I don't want to confuse you. That's called Tinshames, which only appears in the next pasuk, but that really belongs to the first group. So we can go through the first group now. The first group is called Choled. Okay, Choled is basically a weasel or some sort of a rodent. And then we have ha'akbar, so that's a mouse. And then we have a tzav. Tzav is called a toad, T-O-A-D. And then we have that's the first pasuk. Now, as I said before, tinshomes belongs to that category, and that's a kind of a lizard. Fine. Then we have the following in Pasuk Lamed, Hanoka Vakoach Valta Vachomet. Okay, Hanoka is again a hedgehog or a porcupine. Koach is called a lizard or a chameleon. Lita is a lizard. Chomet is a slug or a snail. And Tinshomes, as we said before, is another type of a lizard. Now, after the Torah gives us these groups, it says, Ela Tmeim Lachem, and these are Tmeim. And therefore, Kol Anogea Behem Bebosom Yitmad Ha'orev. So these are the eight categories of Shrotzim that are explicitly mentioned in the Torah. And the Torah says, Elu Atmeim Lachem. Okay, now the hay of Hatmeim is coming to tell you that they are Tomei, and there's a special status to the R, which we'll get to in just a minute. And notice that the two psukim are separated not just because they're two different psukim, but also by the word liminehu, at the end of Chaf Tes. So this is going to lead to the Shita of the Chachamim against Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and they're going to split the Shmona Shratzim into two different categories. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, all eight Shratzim belong to one category, and they all have the same identical halachic status. Not so according to the Chachamim. Rabba Barav Hunama Rav Afilu Temer Rabbanon. And even though the Rabbanon disagree with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri as far as Tumah and Tara is concerned, and they say that there are four out of the eight which are in the second pasuk, which case the Torah says that they don't have R, meaning that the R is considered basar. Again, if they don't have R, I keep reminding you and myself that that's a chumrah. If they don't have R, that means when you come in contact with the R, in effect, you come in contact with the basar. And those are four that are listed in the second category, with the exception of tinshomes, whatever. And comes along Rav and he says, Ad kan lo pligi rabbanan alei de Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri elinyan tuma. There's a specific limited machlokas as far as Tumah is concerned. And whereas Rabbi Yochanan holds that none of these eight amitame, means all of the eight have an R, and that R is a significant R that separates itself from the basar halachically, it's a separate category, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says they're all tahar. And the Chachamim say no. Four out of the eight are considered like basar, as if they don't have R, that's the last four, and they are metame. But that's only, says Rav, le'inyan tumah. Dichsiv eile hatmeim lachem. And what the Torah is saying by eile hatmeim lachem, it's telling us that in four out of the eight shratzim, I'm going to just mention one out of the four right now. That's called a koach. We said is a lizard, right? So that koach will be, you know, representative of a group of four. We'll if Bli Neder, as we go through, we'll give the list of the four, which are the first four listed in the second pasuk there, if you have it. So those are like basar, but that's only, says Rav, le'inyan tumah. As far as Tumah is concerned, the Chumrah is that they're considered like Basar. Dichsiv Eila Atmeim Lachem L'Rabos She'oroseim Kibsara. That their skins are not called skins. They don't have a separate entity. It's not called a separate entity of R, but rather they have the din of flesh, and therefore they're Metame. Avalinyan Shabbos Afilu Rabbanan Modu. Rabbanan agree that even those four Shratzim have an R. The Torah said that in these four Shratzim, their R is not called R, but that's only as far as Tumah V'Tahara is concerned. But the reality is that they do have an R, and therefore the Rabbanan would agree, as far as Shabbos is concerned, to what it says here in the Mishnah, and what Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri would say, that all eight of them are subject to Meleches Chavola, because they all have R. Rabbanan say that four out of the eight are considered like basar. That's because of the separate ribui in Tumah V'Tahara. The Torah says, Eila Tmeim L'Rabos Es Oroseim. Okay, and now we go on to the Gemara's Kasha from Abraisa. The Gemara says, how could Rav say such a thing that there's no machlokas between the Chachamim Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri l'gabi Shabbos u'l'inyan Shabbos lo pligi ? V'atanya. So now we're going to spend a few minutes trying to decipher a brisa, and we'll see that the brisa seems to contradict Rav. The brisa says hatzad echad mishmona shrotzim amurim b'Torah chayav. Right? I'm sorry, achovil behem. So if you capture one of these eight shrotzim, or if you give them a smack, chayav. And then the Braisa says, Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, implying that only Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri would classify all eight shrotzim as if they had R, which is a kula in tuma and a chumran Shabbos. The chachamim omrim ein or ella, and now we turn to kuf zayin on the base ella lemashe manu chachamim. Now he's referring here in this brisa to a mishnah in Chulin, and the mishnah in Chulin tells us about four of the shrotzim, that's called Anoka, Koach, Lita, and Chomet, that they don't have hides. That's what it says in the Mishnah. Meaning, they don't have hides as far as Tumah Vitara is concerned, that's L'chumra, and therefore they have a status of Basar, which is okay, that's the Shitas Chachamim, except it's the way we have the text of the Braisa, it says, Ein Or El Lamash Baruch Chachamim, as if to say that these four have an Or. But that's not true. These four in the Mishnah, which this Braisa is coming to qualify, have no R. So how could it say Ein R El Lamashe Manu Chachamim? Either of it, just the opposite. This brisa cannot be a reliable brisa. Lamashe Manu Chachamim Ein Lehem R. The Mishnah lists four types of lizards and so forth that did not have an R. So we're going to have to somehow refurbish this brisa, and we're going to start with Abaye, then go on to Rava. Abai's interpretation of this price is going to leave us with a stira between this price and the sheet of Rav, that Rav holds again, just to reiterate, that even the Chachamim agree that in all eight shrotzim, as far as Shabbos is concerned, Yechayev from Aleches Chavola. The Omer Abaye Hochi Komar. Here's what the price has in mind. Ein or choluk mi basar, elamasha lo manu Chachamim. He adds two negatives over here to the price. And when it says Lamash Manu Chacham, you have to read it as Lamash Lo Manu Chacham, means the balance of the other four Shrotzim. They don't have the status of Basar, but rather they have a status of R, which means that the R is an entity unto itself, and therefore it's not Makabel Tumah. It doesn't convey Tumah, I should say, right? And as opposed to the case of the four that don't have an R, that are listed in the Mishnah in Chulin, and what's common to that is that they are metame ora and kivisaram. Omalei Rava says, how can you rewrite the Braisa? The Braisa says, quote, holamashim manu chachamim. Ka'omer means that's what it says in the Braisa. We're not referring to that which is not listed in the Mishnah, but rather to that which is listed in the Mishnah. Ela omar Rava, Hachi Kamar. Rav is going to add the word El over here. Hachi Kamar. Ein R mitame kibasar. When do we say that R has the status of basar? Ela lemashemanu chachamim. Only to these four. These four are considered as R. I'm sorry. These four are considered as basar, and therefore they are mitame. Right? That's called Oroseyem Kibisaram. And those are the four that are listed in the Mishnah in Chulin. Okay then? So that's what we have over here, that the R is considered like Basar because they don't have a serious R. And again, that's a Chumra and Tumah. But now we can defend Rav and say that although there's a Chumra and Tumah, that's because of the Ribui that includes these four categories of Shrotzim in the Parash of Tumah, as if there were no R, but they really do have an R, and therefore, even the Chachom would agree with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that as far as Chovil B'Shabbos is concerned, you'd be Chayav. So the Gemara says, Michlal, you're implying now, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Hanach Nami Delomanu Chachomim Mitamin, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who's mentioned in the Reisha of this Mishnah, would say that even those that are not listed in the Mishnah, those Shrotzim, are Mitame. And that's impossible. V'aktani, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Shmona Shrotzim Yeshlem Oros V'lo Mitame. We have an explicit statement on the part of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that the eight Shrotzim, because they have Oros, and each one of them, he doesn't have that ribui of Orom Kibisaram, he holds that all eight Shrotzim have an R. And if they have an R, the R is a separate entity, it's not Basar, and it doesn't convey Tumah. And that That leads the Gemara to a third possible interpretation of the Braisa. Amar Rav Ada bar Ava, Tritz Hachi. Here's the way you should reinterpret the Braisa. V'chachomim Omrim, they turn to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and they say, L'inyan Tuma, Ein Or L'mash Manu Chachomim. That there are four Shrotim that have no Or, only L'inyan Tuma, and therefore they will convey Tuma, because their status is that of Basar. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri would say that all eight Shrotim have the status, including these four, have the status of R, and that's why they don't convey Tuma, they're all Tar in that category. But Vakati, but the sum total here is Le'inyan Tuma, Lo Pligi. You're telling me that as far as Linyan Shabbos, excuse me, Lo Pligi, that as far as Shabbos is concerned, all eight Shrotim have an R, and therefore you'd be chayav from Meleches Chovel. And even the Chacham agreed to that. For Tanya, we have a Brice explicitly that rejects that. Atzad echad mishmona shrotzim amurim b'torah, ha-chovel bahem chayav. But when, under what conditions are you chayav for Chovel in shrotzim? That's only b'shrotzim sheyesh lehem oros. In other words, clearly, this Brisa, in terms of Aleches Chovel, is splitting up Shrotzim into two different categories. And there are Shrotzim that have Oros, there are Shrotzim that don't have Oros. And that split could only be the Rabbanon, because it's only the Rabbanon who, as we said, subdivide the eight Shrotzim into two different groups, two different categories. And apparently they did so not only as far as Tuma, to tell you that there are four Shrotzim that have no R and therefore they're like Basar, but not only that, those four Shrotzim, since they don't have R, there would not be a Chiyuv Chavol. It's only the other Shmona, the other balance of the eight Shrotzim, the other four Shrotzim have an R, and that's why they don't convey Tuma, and therefore there would be a Chiyuv Chavol. So there's only a Chiyuv Chavola in those four cases of Shrotzim Sheish Bem Oros. Then the Braisa goes on to ask, V'ezo hi Chabura, what is considered a Chabura for Meleches Chovel? She'en el Chozeres. In other words, the blood, once it's taken out of the system, and it becomes coagulated under the skin, it will never return into the blood system, into the circulation system, and therefore that is Meleches Chabura. And therefore, Nitzra Adam, Afal Pishalo Yotza, if the blood is coagulated underneath the skin, even though you don't see the blood, nevertheless it's been removed from the circulatory system, and Yechayev Mishum Meleches Chabura. Then the Braisa quotes Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Shmona Shrotzim Yeshlem Oros, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says all eight Shrotzim have Oros, and therefore in all cases you're going to be chayv mishum meleches chabura. But clearly this Braisa takes a position that we have a machlokas between the Chachomim and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri as far as four out of the eight Shrotzim, and that's against Rav. And the subject of this Braisa is Shabbos, meleches chovel. So how are we going to reconcile this Braisa with the sheet of Rav, who says that the Chachomim never argued with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and they agreed that all Shmona Shrotzim are Chayiv Mishum Chovel, because they all have an R? Omer Rav Ashi, Man Tana Kama, who's the Tana Kama this Brice? So we thought it was the Rabbana. No, it's Rabbi Yehuda. The Azil Basar Gishta. Rabbi Yehuda says that whether or not a R is considered like Basar for Tuma Vitara, it all depends upon the thickness of the skin. In other words, he doesn't have this halachic distinction between basar and ar. He says the difference between basar and ar is a metzius. It depends on the reality. Is there a thick skin or is it not a thick skin? This now we learned in a Mishnah, and this is in Masechta Chulin, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, halta kachulda, that the Lata is like a choled. It means that even though these are two different categories in the Rabbanan's frame of reference, namely, but Rabbi Yehuda has them in the same category because they all have a thick skin. And if they have a thick skin, then they don't convey Tumah, because then the R is a separate entity from the Basar. Aval Rabbanan, the Pli Yalei, the Rabbi Yochanan, Le'inyan Tumah, Le'inyan Shabbos Modulo. So again, this brisa that you'll bring a proof from, that brisa would make a distinction between different types of shrotzim as far as Meleches Chovel, because it reflects the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, who has different types of shrotzim, two different categories of shrotzim as far as Tumah Vitara, and it all depends upon whether they have a thick R or they don't have a thick R. But as far as the Rabbanu are concerned, they have a new Aloch in Tumah Vitara that splits this group into two, but that subdivision has no impact whatsoever on the laws of Shabbos. Ihochi, hi, Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri umachlekuso mi boile. When Rabbi Yochanan comes in the Braisa to argue with the Tanakama that we're identifying as Rabbi Yehuda, it should have added the Chachamim. It only mentions Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. It should have mentioned the Chachamim, because they agree, according to Rav, with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. And the Gemara says you have to change the Braisa. Tni, Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri umachlekuso. And even those who disagree with him as far as Tumah Vitara, they agree that all Shmoneh Shrotzim have an Or, and in all cases Yechayv Mishum Meleches Chovel. Boy, minei Levi, mi Rebbe, minayin lechabur shein echozeres. How do we know that there is a category called a chabur shein echozeres, even though you didn't see the dam coming out of the body? Dichsiv, and here he derives it from a pasuk in Yirmiyahu Hanavi, ha-ha-haya ha-foch Kushi Oro Vinomer Chabubosov. Can a black person, a Kushi, change the color of his skin, the pigment of his skin? Can a leopard change his Charbarburos? What's Charbarburos? My Chabros? Ilema Dekoi Rikmi Rikmi. If you're talking to the leopard skin as it's covered with different patches, Hi Vinomer Charbubosov. What do you mean when you say a leopard and it's karbosov? Nomer gvonov mi boile. If you're talking about different colors, then it should have used the word gvonov, which means colors. Ella, but rather, what is Yirmiya saying? Kakushi. Just like the skin of a kushi. Is enochozeres, you cannot change the skin of a kushi. Is afchabura she enochozeres. So too, a chabura, if it's enochozeres, it means the blood will not get recycled with that in the blood circulation, recircled, then it's called a chabura sheinu choveres. It's called shar shrotzim. Now we have someone who bruises one of the other shrotzim, not the eight, and the Mishnah says he's potter. And it only says you're potter in the case of chovel bahem, where he bruises them. So the Gemara is medayik from our Mishnah, ha hargon chayev. If he kills them, he'd be chayef for netilas neshama. In other words, if you want to talk about whether or not there's a chabura shein echozeres because there's an R, I can agree with you that in that case he's potter because there is no R. Only in these eight shrotzim is there R. But as far as killing them is concerned, then they have the status of a living being, and you've killed them, and you chayef mishum melechas netilas neshama. Man tana, who's the tana of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Eliezer, he. Why? The sign we learned in the Brisa, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Ahoreg Kino B'Shabbos, Kahoreg Gamal B'Shabbos. The Gemara says if you kill a Kino, which is a louse on Shabbos, then it's like you killed a camel, meaning you chayef, according to Rabbi Eliezer, for Meleches Netilas Neshama. Is therefore Rabbi Eliezer holds killing a louse is a violation of Meleches Netilas Neshama. We'll soon see that there are other Tanoim who disagree. And this is on a Doraisa level, Rabbi Eliezer's Mechayev, and he uses the camel as an exaggeration, you know, that it's like he killed a big, big animal. Maskif lo Rav Yosef, ad kan lo pligi rabbonin al leid Rabbi Eliezer, ela bekina. You're telling me that the Tana of Habraisa is Rabbi Eliezer. Well, there's only a machlokas chin rabbonin Rabbi Eliezer as far as kina is concerned. Kina is in a separate category. But as far as killing any of the other shrotzim, even the rabbonin would agree that you're chayef for killing them. And what's unique about the kina? You know, what's lousy about a louse, so to speak? The ena para varava, because they don't reproduce. Now, this was at the time of the Gemara, they believed in what's called spontaneous generation. But all other cases of crawling creatures, they reproduce. They have sexual reproduction. It's low pligi. Then even the Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Eliezer that if you kill them, you chayv mishum meleches netilas neshama. So there's no need to identify the author of that mishnah as Rabbi Eliezer. Ushneim lolam dua ela mi elim. In the Mishkan, the Torah talks about constructing the Mishkan from the hides of elim, of rams. Rabbi Eliezer Sovar Ke'elim, when the Torah tells you Yechayah for killing an animal, it uses rams as your example. Why? That anything that Yechayah for has to be similar to rams. And what does it mean, similar to rams? Ma Elim Sheyesh Bahem Netilas Neshama, Af Kol Sheyesh Bahem Netilas Neshama. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, anything that has life to it, even if it's a louse, is Yechayah for. Rabbanan Sovar Ke'elim, Ma elim parim v'ravim, af kol de parim v'rava. The Rabbanan exclude a lice, killing lice, because a lice does not reproduce parim v'rava. It's not similar to an isle. So this last point is now coming under contention here. Omalei Abai turns to Rav Yosef. He says, "V'kina ain parim v'rava. Is this really true? That kinim don't reproduce?" Ha'omar Mar, we have a statement in the name of Rav, that Yosef HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'zan, God is sitting and sustaining all of the animals, Mikarnei Re'emim V'ad Beitzei Kinim, from the horns of the Re'emim to the eggs of lice. But from the fact that there's something called Beitzei Kinim, Beitzim presumably are generated by reproduction. So you see that even kinim reproduce. So the Gemara answers, Mina hu de mikre beitze kinim. There are different species of lice. One species is called beitze kinim. And Rav is referring to a different kind of lice. He's not referring to beitze kinim, but rather to lice that, as we said before, are spontaneously generated and there's no period of arrivia. So the Gemara raises an objection. V'atanya, we have a braisa, tfuye ubeitze kinim. There's something called tfuye. Okay, that's some sort of creeping being. And it says the eggs of lice. So the Gemara again gives the same answer. Mina hu, there's a separate category, a species of lice. The mikri beitze kinim that are called beitze kinim. So again, just to summarize, Rav Yosef is of the opinion that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you are chayav for killing a species that reproduces, and even for a species that doesn't reproduce. So that's Rabbi Eliezer who says that you're chayav for killing a kina. And the Rabbanan say, no, you're only chayav for killing a lice that reproduces, that category and species. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, Vare Parush, Parush is a flea, De Para Varava, Vasanya, and yet we learned in a Braisa that even though the flea reproduces, Hatsad Parush B'Shabbos, if a person captures a flea on Shabbos, Rabbi Eliezer Mechayev, Rabbi Yeshua Poter. So let's study the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua is saying that you're not Chayev for a Parush. This, despite the fact that it's part of a Rava. So the Bar Plukta of Rabbi Eliezer, this Braisa, is Rabbi Yeshua, and he says you're part of killing something that does in fact reproduce. Now you're telling me that the only reason why we might pater you, according to the Chachom of Rabbi Eliezer, in the case of a Kina, is because it's ain't part of a Rava. But what about a Parush? A Parush is part of a Rava, it reproduces, and yet Rabbi Yeshua says you're part of. Why should you be part of? So now the Gemara says, well, read the Braisa carefully. The Braisa doesn't say anything about killing a flea. On Rav Ashi, Seda Riga Karam, you're asking a question by an analogy between trapping and killing? The Braisa is not talking about killing. I can't lo pligi. Where's there a machlok shin Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua? That's only as far as seida, as far as trapping. Would you be chai for trapping a flea? Elamar sovar, and Rabbi Elazar holds that dover she'ein b'mino nitzod chayav. That if you have something which normally is not trapped, nevertheless you're chayav. You decide you want to trap it. Nobody traps fleas, but you want a flea. You're making a flea market, right? So you're chayav. Mar sovar, Rabbi Yeshua holds potter. Why? Because since normally that species, a flea, a parush, is not usually trapped, therefore you're potter. Avalin, you're not riga. If you're talking about killing, afili Rabbi Yeshua mode, even Rabbi Yeshua would say that you're certainly chayav for killing a flea. And it's par of a rava, so even if the chacham require par of a rava, and therefore they exclude lice, but they would include fleas. Hatzad litzor chayav. The Mishnah tells us that if you trap something like a crawling creature for a purpose, then you're chayav. Man Tana, who's this Tana? Om Rabbi Yeshua, Om Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimoni. The Om Melachah Shein Etzrich Legufa Potter Ole. That everything depends whether you need it or you don't need it. And you're capturing something, do you need it? Then it's Litzar Gufa. But if you don't need it, then it's Eno Litzar Gufa. And Rabbi Shimon therefore says you're potter because he holds Melach Shein Etzrich Legufa is potter. Now that was the teaching of Rav. Iker Demasli Le'acha. Some have Rav's teaching with regard to a Mishnah that we mentioned earlier. Hamafis Mursa B'Shabbos Im Lasos L'Pechayev Im Lotzi Men Alecha Potur. So if you're only interested in taking the pus out, your potur. Mantana, who is the author of that Mishnah? Om Rabbi Yudam Arav Rabbi Shimoni, the Omer B'loch Shein Tzich L'Gufa Potur Le. No, it's even if he's making an opening in his body, but he has no need for the opening in his body, he's just trying to puncture a small hole to extract the pus, and that's called a B'loch Shein Tzich L'Gufa, and therefore your potur. Ika demasni le aha. Some have Rav as a comment on a different Mishnah. Hatzad Nachash B'Shabbos, if he captures a serpent, and he's only trying to protect himself from getting bitten, potur. But Imler Fua Chaya. Mantana, who's the author of this Mishnah? Om Rabbi Yehuda, Om Rav, Rabbi Shimon, he the Omar, Malacha Shein Etzricha Legufa Potur Ale. So if he has no need for the Nachash, he's just trying to prevent himself from getting bitten, that's called the Malacha Shein Etzricha Legufa, and he's Potur Meshmuel. Hashole Dag Minayam. If you take a fish out of the water, sometimes you fish water and then you throw it back into the water. So how do you know whether you've actually caused the death of the fish in Yechayv on Shabbos? Kevon sheyovesh bo kisela. If there's part of the skin of the fish that's ready dry like a sela. Sela is a certain kind of a coin. And it's very dry and it has a certain size. Chayav. That means that he killed the fish. Om Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yossi Barov wants to qualify this. That's only Bein Snapirov. If that dry spot is between its fins. If it's on the scales, then that's not a simon, that doesn't indicate that it's a dead fish. Omrav Ashi lo teme yovesh mamish. Don't interpret Rabbi Shmuel's statement that it's actually dry. El afilu di avad riri. Even there are drops of riri. Riri is a kind of a scummy, a slimy substance. Then if you can see at the fish that it has this substance, then you know it's already a dead fish. And therefore you're chayif. Omamar Barbara Hamduya Mishmuel, Hoshit Yadulame Behema, Vidildel Ubar Shebimeyeha. A man puts his hand into the womb of an animal and he takes out the embryo from the pregnant animal, Chayav. And you and I would have said he's Chayav for Netilas Neshama. No. That's not what he's chayav for. He's chayav for meleches kotzer, because kotzer, which literally means reaping, means oker dover migidula. And that's what the Gemara is going to clarify now. And I'll talk about oker dover migidula, and we'll finish for today. Omar Rava bar Hamduri Asperli. He explained to me this halacha. Lav Omar Rav Sheshes. Don't we have a statement of Rav Sheshes? High-minded tolish kshusa mihizmi vehigi mechayav. He's chayav for kotzer. So what happens over here, the different types of briars and brambles, and he takes out the hops, and he detaches it from the ground, and he's chayef for meleches kotzer. Why? Because mishum sha'oker dover migidulo. As soon as you detach something from the place from which it grows, you're chayv for kotzer. Hachinami here too, when he detaches the embryo from the body of its mother, is mechayv mishum oker dover migidulo, which is a tolda of meleches kotzer. And here we'll finish. Amar Abaye, Haiman de Tolash. Pitra mi uno de chatzva mechayev mishum oker dov mishum. He has a fungus that's on the handle of a pitcher, and he's chayev for uprooting it from the place it grows. Okay, Rabbi Osei. So tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, will be up. So tomorrow.